The Multicultural Leadership Program pivots to COVID-19, including one of its lesser understood side effects.
What it is doing to people's emotional and intellectual state.
That's new executive director Matt Drapp. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is WGLT's The Leadoff.
Support for WGLT's The Leadoff comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.
It's Tuesday, September 8th. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from WGLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Now let's lead off with how a program that trains aspiring leaders has some new leaders of its own, and a new focus to address two of the biggest issues of our time. Eric Stock reports.
This year's class with the Multicultural Leadership Program plans to work with nonprofits in Bloomington Normal on COVID-19 recovery and racial injustice. Tuesday was Matt Dratt's first day as executive director of the Multicultural Leadership Institute. He says one component of the course addresses anxiety counseling, one of the effects the pandemic has had on many.
One of the perhaps lesser known or lesser understood components of the effect of COVID is what it is doing to people's emotional and intellectual state.
The program also partners with agencies that work on immigrant rights, fair housing, and career counseling for women and people of color. Dratt says in some ways, COVID and racial justice are connected.
We don't want COVID to keep organizations from serving our community that impacts, specifically in this particular year, Black, Indigenous, and people of color.
But the pandemic has impacted nearly everything, including the leadership program. The 25 participants in this year's intensive 9-month course are meeting online. Program coordinator Michaela Harris says they used breakout rooms on Zoom to split participants into smaller groups and sometimes pair people at random or based on personality type. And they encourage them to meet one-on-one in person if they can do so safely, to keep the personal touch.
There's definitely still that relationship aspect of it all, and we're very cognizant of that because that's quite frankly, it's part of the magic.
Sharon Peoples graduated from the leadership program earlier this year and is now vice president of the Institute's board. She says the growth that comes from that interpersonal communication is what enables graduates to better serve their community.
The reason why the program is so powerful is that it's not just preparing us for future abilities to impact positively a community and our companies, but it also helps us to have immediate impacts as well.
The leadership program runs until mid-March. It has had nearly 300 graduates since the program began in 2009. For The Leadoff, I'm Eric Stock.
Here's some other stories we're following in the WGLT newsroom. 9 children were among the 46 new coronavirus cases reported yesterday in McLean County. The county's testing positivity rate, though, is falling to 11.2%. Bloomington police are investigating 2 shots fired incidents over the Labor Day weekend. One happened near West Mill and South Mason Streets, the other in the 700 block of Fairmont Drive. No injuries were reported. And time is running out to be included in the latest census. Illinois officials say the state ranks 7th overall when it comes to people filling out their forms, but certain areas, including many rural and minority communities, are lagging. Find more on these stories at WGLT.org. More than a year ago, Illinois State University students had a climate moment. They campaigned hard for progress on global climate change. Correspondent Brianna Groh catches up with 4 student activists to find out what the state of the movement is during a pandemic.
Last spring, students at Illinois State University led a crowd of at least 250 in a march through Uptown Normal to demand governments take action to fight climate change. The Student Environmental Action Coalition had successfully lobbied the town of Normal to require that leasing companies provide on-site recycling at their rental properties, and the newly formed divestment campaign was putting pressure on the university's administration to examine its investments in fossil fuels. The movement had built real momentum. Change was coming. And then, you know what comes next.
COVID.
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 Yep, COVID. Not only did COVID-19 force students to stay home, it pushed the climate crisis out of the global spotlight. And then, just as parts of the country were beginning to reopen again, a police officer killed George Floyd during an arrest in Minneapolis, kicking off ongoing racial justice protests. While climate change may not be the big headline right now, senior anthropology major and divestment campaign member Rachel Sabella says they're not letting the issue end. She says it's complicated.
Like the Black Lives Matter movement, there are things that are more pressing right now, but we can't really say that one injustice is greater or worse than another injustice. So that's why at least I believe that it's really important to work with these issues in conjunction.
Students say they believe racial and environmental injustice are inextricably linked. Examine one close enough and you'll find the other. Senior history major and fellow divestment campaign member Jake Bright says the impacts of climate change will hit people of color the hardest.
So because minorities tend to get pushed into the less affluent areas by the systems of racism that we see, the extreme weather, like extreme heat or extreme cold, present more of a risk to them because they don't maybe have as insulated of a house, or they, homelessness even.
Bright and Sabella say they want to participate in protests on campus. But no matter what injustices you're fighting, you still have to deal with COVID.
These kind of avenues that we would normally use for activism aren't as available anymore. So we're trying to find ways to be creative and get around it.
New infections on campus this week have pushed the countywide positivity rate into the state's warning level. Xavier Brayboy is a senior environmental health major and social media moderator for the Student Coalition. She says it's just not wise to be out protesting.
Unless we're all safe, we can't continue to keep the earth safe.
The Student Coalition holds twice monthly meetings on Zoom and uses social media to continue to spread the word about the climate crisis. Junior psychology major Devin Paoni is a member of both the coalition and the Student Sustainability Committee.
Since we can't go out and protest, I think it's more of an individualized approach now rather than a collectivist approach.
You can read the rest of that story at WGLT.org. Before we let you go, the Normal Town Council meets tonight, starting with a work session at 6, focused on the motor fuel tax. Then they'll see an updated financial trends report. That is it for today. Thanks for listening to The Leadoff. Support for this podcast comes from listeners like you. Contribute at WGLT.org.